first thing they just get. The next matter before the court is in the interest of first and H. Counsel, the
members of the bench, may it please the court. My name is Katie Reichert. I represent the appellant in this case, Ms. Victoria Frazier. She's the mother of a juvenile child in the Boston County Juvenile Court. Today, we're asking the court to reverse the Boston County's denial of Victoria's motion to dismiss for lack of jurisdiction and remand the county court with instructions to dismiss the case. The county court lacks jurisdiction on this case for two particular reasons. Number one, the court lacks jurisdiction under the doctrine of parens patriae. And two, the court lacks jurisdiction under the principles of the Uniform Child Custody Jurisdiction and Enforcement Act. Because this appeal presents a question of law and statutory interpretation, this court must reach an independent conclusion irrespective of the lower court's determination. And where plain error permeates throughout the record, the Court of Appeals can review the case de novo. This is a case that should have never been filed to begin with. This case illustrates the power the state has to disrupt and damage a parent-child relationship despite lacking the authority to do so. The basic and pertinent facts, which are not in controversy, are that at the time the case was filed in Boston County Court on June 16th of 2017, there was an active order out of Boston County, North Dakota, in their juvenile court there that directed the minor child be reunified with her mother on July 1st of 2017.
And the case was going to be dismissed.
Yes, it was going to be dismissed.
Isn't that what causes the problem? Because the state of Nebraska files, which try to make sure that the reunification is proper. Because they're saying that because of the problems that this girl has had, and the fact that the mother didn't believe her at some points along the way, and because she says that the child has lied in the past, there's a question as to who would protect the child's interests. So there's, the state's got a reason to file an assumption for Dakota.
That is a safe assumption that if the child were to return on July 1st, then perhaps she would be in danger with her mother. But
if you want to know, the state of North Dakota declines to take further action, then if the child is returned to Nebraska as per the order, then Nebraska would have an interest in
that would be true if the child were in the state of Nebraska.
That's what's supposed to happen under the North Dakota order as of July 1st.
But this case was filed on June 16th.
That's the problem. Are you familiar with the process and what takes place under the North Dakota or the state procedures like this where there's two states that argue as to who has jurisdiction and judges?
Yes.
Discuss the matter and decide who's going to give up and where we're going to proceed.
Right. So that's the process under the Uniform Child Custody Jurisdiction Enforcement Act. Also, it's supposed to be under the doctrine of jurisdictional priority as well. But that didn't happen in this case. The county court...
So is that what you're asking us to do, is to send it back and that take place?
That would be, I think, a reasonable thing for the court to confer with the North Dakota court to see whether Nebraska should take jurisdiction.
We don't know at this point whether or not the North Dakota proceeding is actually still pending.
We don't. No, because as soon as, as soon as Nebraska, the case is filed in Nebraska, as that record shows, the caseworkers and whatnot in North Dakota put their orders on hold from the North Dakota court to then, I guess, be in line with what Nebraska had filed to have the case heard in Nebraska.
So we don't know whether there was a new order entered prior to July 1st, continuing the matter in North Dakota, or whether they were dismissed. There's nothing to do with it.
order would be, I think, the one from first part of the middle of May of 2017, where the court ordered that the child return to Nebraska on July 1st.
There may be another order
that's in conception. Well, I don't believe there actually was an order, but there's nothing in the actual record to show that.
Sorry, but you're arguing that Nebraska doesn't have jurisdiction because of the North Dakota proceeding?
That would be one reason. Also, the other reason would be because the child was not present in the state of Nebraska when the case was filed. The case law that touches on the parent patriae doctrine, which is in right interest of Violet T. from 2013, had a similar situation where the child was not within the state's borders. And the juvenile court in that case had found that it did not have jurisdiction over the case, and on appeal, the Supreme Court affirmed that because the child was not within the borders of Nebraska. So that would be one reason why we assert that the courts do not have jurisdiction over subject matter in this particular case.
So how would you explain the statute within the UCCJEA, the simultaneous proceedings provision?
So I believe the simultaneous proceedings provision requires the courts to confer.
But doesn't it suggest there's a proceeding going in two different places?
Yes.
All right, so potentially jurisdiction in two different places. And it requires them to communicate and decide where the more convenient forum is, correct?
Yes, so that's one of the things that they're supposed to discuss.
So presumably the fact that there was a proceeding in North Dakota and then the action was filed in Nebraska, we could look at that as simultaneous proceedings, couldn't we?
Perhaps, but I think also that the court needs to look at the parts of the UCCJEA that refer to where a child custody determination can even be made. And with that in mind, the court has to look at where the child's home state is.
And they could decline, though. In this case, again, this record is lacking in a number of different ways. But there seems to have been a divorce in North Dakota.
There was years before.
Yeah.
Right.
So an initial custody determination, presumably, again, we don't have this in our record, but presumably the initial determination was in North Dakota, so they would have continuing and exclusive jurisdiction, right? Until such time as it would determine that there was no longer any substantial connection to the state. Parties have moved away. Child is no longer in the state. That appears from this record to have happened, and that mom and daughter moved to Nebraska in 2012. Dad is stationed in Germany in the military, testified by phone that, you know, there's no way he's ever coming back to the state. So there's, other than the child going up to North Dakota to visit grandparents, they had established residency here in Nebraska. And Nebraska did, in fact, file in October of 16.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And you don't have any issue with the fact that they had jurisdiction, Nebraska had jurisdiction at that point.
They would have had jurisdiction at that point under the UCCJEA, because at that point Nebraska was still a child.
But the child wasn't there, or wasn't here.
That's right. But I think the difference between the filing in October and the filing in June has to go on, you know, what is a temporary absence from, say, Nebraska. Because home state can account for a temporary absence in that six-month period. By the time this case is filed in June, the child will be now in the state for almost full 11 months. Therefore, her absence arguably was no longer temporary.
So arguments can be made on both sides that each state has some substantial connection to the circumstances here. Wouldn't the simultaneous proceedings provision be the most applicable in the courts talking to determine where the more convenient forum is based on where the bulk of the evidence is?
Yes, I believe that is probably what the court should have done to start with. When it realized that there was another order in North Dakota, should have contacted the court to determine those issues. The court wasn't made aware of that until Victoria's motion to dismiss was filed, because that information was not in the affidavit that supported the temporary emergency custody order. So that issue wasn't raised until it was raised by the mother. And at that point, the court, I would agree, should have discussed with North Dakota about whether, you know, how to move forward on those issues.
Is it implicit in North Dakota's behavior, the court is saying the child's returning to Nebraska as of this date to mom, and then the case is dismissed? Can there be an implicit finding that the court declined further jurisdiction?
At that point, I guess I'm not sure, because the case in Nebraska being filed June 16th, the court in North Dakota may very well have done something different had it been aware that the case was filed here. We don't have any information from North Dakota to state that. I guess I'll reserve my other 2 minutes for rebuttal unless there are any questions.
Thank you. Counsel, may I please the court, counsel? My name is Travis Roda. I'm a Boston County attorney. I represent the state in this matter. It appears that appellant, although she touched on some other issues, I think in her ultimate appeal, sounds like she's focusing primarily on dismissal issues. I'll direct most of my comments towards that. I think the issue with an application of violent key in this particular case is that the facts just aren't the same. In Violet Key, we had a kid that was basically had almost zero contacts with Nebraska, born child, and every other thing in this child's life took place in Iowa. Whereas in the case in front of you today, pretty much all of the connections with KH took place in Nebraska. Mom lived there, the family lived there for quite a period of time.
But she hasn't lived there for 11 months when you file your petition.
You're right, Your Honor. That's due to basically a court order placement up in North Dakota.
So you have a court in North Dakota that has assumed jurisdiction. Doesn't that, in the home state of the child, until that petition is dismissed, how can you have another petition in Nebraska?
Your Honor, I think Your Honor touched on it in some of the comments with the appellant. There was an order out of North Dakota basically saying at such and such date, child's going back to Nebraska with mom.
Hadn't happened yet, though.
No, it had not happened, but it was imminent.
So was there any communication between the prosecutor's office, Fox Butte County, and the prosecutor's office in North Dakota to see what was happening up there?
There was communication of that nature.
Is that part of our record?
I don't believe so, Your Honor.
Is that a problem?
It could be.
And then when you indicate to the court that there's no action presently pending anywhere else, did you know that as a fact?
Well, we were aware of the North Dakota case, but the understanding of the prosecutor's office was that once they said, we're done with it, kids going back to mom, that was going to be the end of the North Dakota case.
Didn't you have a responsibility to inform the court, though, of the other proceedings in North Dakota?
I think they were aware of the other proceedings.
Did you put that into the temporary custody affidavit?
I don't believe that it was in that affidavit.
Was there another pleading file that indicated that there was another proceeding pending in North Dakota?
I think the only other pleadings that would have addressed that would have been by the appellant when the appellant brought it up.
That's long after July 1st.
That's correct, yes.
So at that point, we don't know whether there was an action pending in North Dakota based on the record or not, do we?
No, there would not be anything in the record that indicated that.
Isn't that a problem?
Well, it could be.
But how could it not be?
Well, because I think the court was aware of where the child was and the circumstances of the child being up there due to the prior case, the 16 case that was originally filed by the prior prosecutor.
And dismissed.
Yes,
dismissed.
Correct. So I think the court was aware of those facts in that case, that there was a...
So is there something on the record or is there an order that we haven't seen that indicates why the court wouldn't have contacted the court North Dakota to find out where the case should be tried and where the issues were and whether or not North Dakota was willing to give up jurisdiction and refer it back to Nebraska?
I don't believe so, other than the order that's been referenced.
So how do you ever get going? How do you, I mean, if the child is a resident of North Dakota, that's the home state, and the North Dakota court has a case pending, they've got control over her. What are you doing?
Well, they had issued an order that said that the child was going to be returned to Nebraska.
But the child hadn't been returned.
No, not yet. And our argument was that the prosecutor...
I understand you're trying to be proactive, but don't you have to go a step further?
In terms of...
To coordinate the action of Nebraska and North Dakota together?
I guess in the mind of the prosecutor's office, the North Dakota had already made its decision in saying the kid's going back on such and such date, and rather than wait till the kid gets back, possibly have harm, and then file, where it was imminent from the order, it was filed at that point.
What gives Nebraska the authority to take jurisdiction of the child in those circumstances?
Well, I believe there's case law that says that the state does not have to wait until a harm befalls the kid before filing an action.
Right, but those are when the child is within the state. I don't know that that's a jurisdictional issue.
Well, if we're talking about jurisdiction, I think there's case law. I'd point to State versus TW 241 Nebraska 84, and there's a couple different things that seems to purport. One is exclusive continuing jurisdiction under the Act is not affected by the child's residence in another state for 6 months or more. Although the new state becomes the child's home state, significant connection jurisdiction continues in the state where the child was. And I think we have that with mom living in Nebraska, prior case in Nebraska that was dismissed, and in the current case. And then it says in that particular case goes on to say that only when the child and all parties have moved away is deference to another state's continuing jurisdiction no longer required. So,
But in our case, the divorce took place in North Dakota.
Several years prior, yes.
But that's where the custody was determined, we presume.
Yes.
That's the state that has the priority.
I think for if this was like a divorce modification or something like that, but this was a child that was present in Nebraska for a period of at least, looks like 4 or 5 years, and was coming back to Nebraska, and there was a perceived harm that was going to occur, and that was going to occur in Nebraska. I agree with you. I think if this was mom filing a custody modification or dad, I think the proper place would have been North Dakota, where it originated.
But the problem I'm still having is that not only are the solutions to North Dakota, but the child state is North Dakota. North Dakota is state custody.
We would argue, based on the case law, that if the home state of the child, it could be argued as Nebraska, was Nebraska. Because it was a period of temporary absence actually ordered by the court. But the original way the child got up to North Dakota was a short-term visit with grandma and grandpa. And then the Nebraska case, the Nebraska court actually had ordered placement up there. Because it was a court order, and because of the length of time, she wasn't up there for years and years and years like she had been in Nebraska. We would argue that that's a temporary placement as contemplated by the case law and the Nebraska statutes that says a period of temporary absence of any of the mentioned persons part of the period. So I think you exclude the 11 months. I think the home state could still be considered Nebraska in this case.
Juvenile case, North Dakota, where the child has been taken into jurisdiction of the North Dakota court. How do you go about taking the child from North Dakota and returning her to Nebraska? You're saying it's because the order wouldn't allow that to happen.
The North Dakota.
But you certainly have dealt with juvenile courts long enough to know that even though the court says this is what's going to happen on a certain date, that may or may not be the case, depending on what's happened. There are lots of cases where we say we're going to be returning the child to the parents such and such a date upon them being in this case. And then they don't do it. So the order gets entered, not returning the child. So until the child is returned to the home in Nebraska, how do you presume that the child is returned to Nebraska? And how is it North Dakota? How do you do that?
Well, I think when you look at the North Dakota order, which I believe is part of the record, it appears from the language of the court, as this court kind of suggested, their intent was to done with the case, return it to Nebraska. I think when you read the order, that appears to be very clear from the order. I agree. Maybe something comes up, a disaster strikes, they change their mind, somebody files a motion, and something changes. I suppose had that occurred, then... It's not in the record, but I know that it did not.
It's not in the record. It's not something we can see. That's the problem.
I think it could potentially.
Is the Nebraska proceeding that was filed in October and dismissed in February, is that in our record?
I believe there's at least references.
References in other orders, but nothing from that proceeding is in our record, is it?
No.
Really, a lot of the problem in our whole discussion here about jurisdiction arises because Nebraska dismissed that petition. If that at the time Nebraska filed it, it could claim home state status without question, right?
Yes.
But upon dismissing it and not having taken further action, it put the burden on North Dakota to take affirmative action to protect this child. And so now we have two states that have to sort out, and as Judge Inbody has been discussing at length with both of you, there's nothing in our record to show that discussion between the courts and the prosecutors took place, or that the court in North Dakota declined and fully dismissed the action that was pending up there. Would you agree? There's just nothing in our record to establish that.
I would agree, other than what can be inferred from the North Dakota. Yes.
All that can be inferred is the court of attendance. Case be dismissed on July 1st, not that it was.
That would be true.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
How long did you take them off? We'll go back to the room. So you have no chance to come back. If you want. Thank you very much for being here today. We really appreciate you coming in and arguing this case to us. I think it's an important case. Lots of different ways. So I really do thank you for it. I know it's a long trip. I just want you to know that personally.